Well, good morning. We're in part 15 of Presence of the Future, and subtitle is The Mystery of Preparation. We're starting to see, you know, what the Lord's priorities were in terms of communicating the mysteries of the kingdom. And the method by which he decided to do it was through parables. Yeah. And I mentioned a phrase last time we were together. A phrase is quite common in Christianity today, and that's the Great Commission. You heard that before? The Great Commission. And I said I would handle it at some point, so let's handle it now. And these few verses I mentioned have become a central theme in most churches. If you go onto most churches' websites and you see their kind of statements of faith, this is usually central to it all. It's a statement, you know, that term, Great Commission, is never in the scriptures. So that should immediately be a red flag to us. You know, why would you superimpose a term onto the scriptures when it's never used in the scriptures? And it's a term really that we shouldn't use. If you haven't noticed, the whole infrastructure has built up around that. Have you ever heard of a missionary? Have you ever heard of the mission field? Other terms that are not in the scriptures. So you do wonder why the churches of today have built up a $1 million, if not $1 billion, industry surrounding all of this. So let's read what the text says. Hey, there's something revolutionary. Yeah, let's actually read what the Bible actually says and understand it from the text. Because it's a text that brings us clarity, isn't it? We've been seeing that through these parables. It's the repeated reading of the text that gives us so much clarity. Steve and I were talking about that. We went for a walk together. Man, that was quite a walk, wasn't it? It was for me because I was wearing a big thick jacket. Steve was quite relaxed. I was trying to get him to slow down. But we were talking about it, how so often, and I think I mentioned this before as well, people go and search for books rather than the book, which is staring them right in the face. And that God is quite capable of opening up our eyes and granting us the ability to read and understand this. And we've been seeing that for weeks now. But Matthew chapter 28 is the text I'm referring to. But just, let's be really careful when we read this, yeah? Because sometimes we read things, and not so much in our case, because I think we've thrashed context and who things are addressed to death. Yeah, they'll pick up something from the scriptures and essentially superimpose it onto themselves. And it's very easy to do that. Go anywhere into the Bible and do that, you know, and particularly by taking things out of context. But Matthew 28:16 is where we're going to start. Now, what's written in your Bible? The Great Commission. Right, so you want to put a line through that. Yeah, because that's not the text. That's some translator's interpretation and putting a term onto something that isn't necessarily the way it should be understood. So verse 16. Hey, but the 11 disciples. So what does that immediately tell us? But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. So the whole context is around their lives. So the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, who? The 11 disciples, when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them. So all the pronouns are pointing to who? The 11 disciples. Yeah. And spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this whole conversation that's going on here is between him and the 11 disciples. Yeah. So now I don't superimpose all of that onto myself. And we're going to see that as we read on. So it's absolutely crystal clear just by reading the text, yeah, who Jesus was specifically addressing, does he address anyone else in these verses? No, he doesn't. Right? And today, virtually all the religious systems of this world have taken the call of the disciples and made it their call. So I want to ask a question then. Why don't they take this next section coming up on board as well? Yeah? Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. See, we can't pick and choose. If that was addressed to us, then Mark chapter 6 verse 7 is addressed to us as well. Yeah? Look at verse 7. And the heading here is the 12 sent out. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he instructed them, again, I'm emphasizing, making emphasis as to who he's referring to, yeah? And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt. But to wear sandals. And he added, do not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them. They went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. Okay, so why don't the missionaries do all that? Yeah? They've got to put on sandals. Right? They've got to anoint people with oil. They've got to heal people. They've got to cast out devils. You know, all this stuff. Yeah? Which is addressed specifically to who? Told us. It's the disciples. The apostles were given that call that we read in Matthew. And it's very clear from the scriptures. But are you getting the message? We can't just pick up the Bible and superimpose things onto ourselves wrongly. So it's addressed specifically to the 12 disciples here. So this does not mean now that we have to go and copy everything the disciples were asked to do. That's really the point I'm getting across here. And just watch how popular that will be with people if you ask them to do what's in Mark. Yeah, suddenly the mission field doesn't become quite as attractive to them, considering they have to go out and with no money. So how do they get there? And as I said earlier, you know, this is built up now into a million, if not billion-dollar industry within the religious systems of this world. Now, having said all that, are we to proclaim the gospel? Absolutely. You know, it doesn't alleviate the responsibility of proclaiming the gospel, but we're not to do it in the same way as the disciples and the apostles were asked to do it, necessarily. Now, a couple of verses I want to touch on. Turn to Matthew 11. And this is just a couple of chapters before the parable of the soils, yeah? Matthew 11, 27. Just to kind of reiterate some of the truths behind what we are called to do and what the Lord does, yeah? And we've seen that in the parable of the soils. Who gives the growth? He does, right? He's the instigator. He's the one who's really doing the work, yeah? Of the calling of people. Matthew 11:27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So it's not you and I revealing him, is it? Yeah? It's the Son revealing him. He's the instigator of it all. But that doesn't mean we don't help people through that whole process. Yeah? So there's still a responsibility on us, and we're going to be touching on the responsibilities today. You might have got that in the title. Yeah, the mystery of preparation. Yeah. So there are things for us to do. Look at John 12:32. John 12:32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself, drawing them to himself. And we come alongside these people when their eyes and ears are opened by the Lord, who's drawing them to himself. John 6:44 says this. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read it to you. John 6:44. Says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So no one's coming to him, right, unless the Father draws him. So there's a drawing involved, yeah? And it's, as I say, it's you and I coming alongside these people that he is drawing in order to assist them and support them. So God's quite capable of carrying out his mission. That's a point I really want to get across. He's quite capable of it, with or without our assistance, because he's the instigator of it. He's the one that does it. But we still have the responsibility to live a certain way, don't we? Because the scriptures tell us that we're to live a holy life. We're to die to sin and live to righteousness. So we're not exempt. We're not exempt from responsibility. Yeah. So we're going to continue in the parables. And we should now be looking at and understanding these parables in a very different light. We really should. Because remember what the Lord is doing with these parables. He's revealing for the very first time the mysteries of the kingdom. Guys, that's a huge deal. We've read it before. He granted the insight to understand these mysteries of the kingdom to the apostles, to the disciples, and to whomever he wants to reveal it to. So it's a huge deal. So therefore, the biggest teaching for us all is just that these parables should be revealing what these mysteries are. What these mysteries are. So whenever we're reading these parables, we've got to be looking out for what's different, what is new, what has been revealed in these parables. And we've been through the parable of soil. So now, if I was to go around the room and ask you, each of you, yeah, what the parable of the soils is all about, what's the main points in the parable of the soils that relates to the mysteries of the kingdom? What would that sound like? Just reiterate in your head how you would answer that. Okay? It should be very different, guys, to when we first started out on this. It really should. Very different. And if these answers don't immediately come to your mind, they should. Because believe me, if you're depending on me to give you the answers and to reveal stuff to you in half an hour on a Sunday morning, and that's it for you, you're going to be history. And we went through that before. Right? Unless we have roots, unless we're studying this stuff outside of this assembly, each of us are going to be history when the real persecution comes along. You ain't going to get off with it. You can't skip it. It's not optional, according to our Lord. Right? We've got to have these roots, and we're going to see that today. And I'm not building these roots for you, despite the assembly that we have and the system that we have. Because this is the way most people handle the scriptures. You know, they meet for a short period of time and everyone gets fed and walks away and gets on with life. Well, we can't be like that, right? We've got to take our individual responsibility to ensure that we're building that root system. To ensure that when that persecution, and I said when, because the likelihood of it turning up is huge for us when we teach this stuff. And I want to just read a verse to you. But I'm going to read Matthew 10:7, when the Lord said, and as you go, preach, saying. So, you know, there is a responsibility, not just on who he's addressing specifically, but for us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Literally, the kingdom has come near. And that's the main theme of what we're hitting here as we get into the parables and as we get into the mysteries of the kingdom. One of the biggest mysteries of the kingdom is the kingdom has come. We're impacting that kingdom with our lives right now. Yeah, that's a huge truth. But what impact is that having on us? Only you can answer that. Right. What impact is that having on us? Are we the same as when we started this? You're going to be asking some real hard questions if that is the case. Because we shouldn't. I know I'm not the same. I don't look at the scriptures that we've been going through the same way as I did before we started this. So we've got to be really taking that responsibility. So let's look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Because all of this, guys, comes with a cost. It comes with a cost and it comes with a responsibility. It's not free. He doesn't grant us the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom and we don't have any responsibility. We absolutely do. And that's key for us in our assembly, to understand what my responsibility is, what your responsibility is. That is part of the mysteries of the kingdom. Because remember, this is all new to the disciples. Preparation? What are you talking about? The kingdom's coming. God is going to reign. He's going to take over the earth. What preparation do I need to make? Well, he's telling them, hold on a minute. This is part of the mysteries of the kingdom. I'm revealing this to you. I've granted you to know and understand this. And he's done the same for us. Luke 12. So every time we're going into these texts, right, I want you to be thinking, hold on, this is a mystery of the kingdom. This was never revealed to anybody before. Yeah. So the disciples are listening to this and getting their minds blown. Are we? Or do we just take it for granted? Are we being impacted the same way as they were impacted? I guarantee you we're not, and I'm including myself in that. Right, but we should. We should be absolutely impacted by this in a dramatic way. This should ring alarm bells in all of our lives. Right? Am I doing this? He's telling me I need to do it, but I think I can get off with not doing it. Yeah. So verse 35. Be dressed in readiness. And so we're getting into the mystery of the preparation. Yeah. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master, and when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert. On the alert. Okay, these are the ones who are going to be blessed. Are we on the alert? Should be. According to the Lord, right? And we'll find on the alert when he comes. I truly say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. You got that picture? This is the Lord, guys, talking. So who's he talking about? Those ones who are alert. Those ones who have made some preparation. Those ones with the lamps lit. Yeah. Does that ring any bells for us? The virgins. Yeah. Verse 38. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds him so, blessed are those slaves. Wow. And whenever I see that, I think, well, what about the ones who didn't do it? Are they going to be blessed as well? Yeah. Absolutely not. We're going to see what the result of their lack of preparation gives them. Right, verse 39. Be sure of this. Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. So if you know the date of the break-in, right, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to probably hire a couple of Dobermans for the night if you know the burglar's coming, yeah? But we don't know when it's going to happen, do we? Neither do we. We don't know when the burglar's coming, but we also don't know when the Lord is coming, yeah? So if we're not preparing, what are our actions screaming out? They're screaming out, he isn't coming. Or it doesn't matter when he comes. Yeah? This should be, again, setting up alarm bells for all of us. Verse 40. You too, be what? Ready. Be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Yeah? Don't bother trying to predict when he's coming. And he's coming unexpectedly. So what he's getting across here is, now is the time of preparation. And if you've ever been close to death, and some in here have been on the brink of death unexpectedly, I know I have recently, so you know what I'm talking about. You're not lying there thinking, oh wow, I really wish I'd closed that big deal I had on the go. Or I wish I'd taken that vacation. Yeah? No, you're lying there asking yourself, have I made the correct preparation? Have I made the correct preparation to meet the Lord? But if you haven't, it's probably a bit too late. I don't want to be the thief on the cross. Just make it at the last minute. So verse 41. Peter said. Peter's always in there, isn't he? If anyone was going to ask questions, it was very often Peter. And Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us? Hold on. Or is it everybody? Yeah. And you can read this and think, oh, the Lord just ignored him. He didn't want to answer the question. But I really think he goes on to answer the question in verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward? So Peter's question was what? Is this to us or to everybody? And the Lord says, sensible. What does he say? Faithful and sensible steward. This is who I'm referring to. Right. So he does answer it. Whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time. So the Lord is addressing Peter's question right here. It's faithful and sensible that he's addressing. And he goes on in this section to do that, do just that. And so this is touching now on the critical nature of the kingdom having come. Because it's what we're doing now in the current kingdom preparation that's determining our outcome in the future. You know, the future that's coming in his glorious future kingdom that is coming. But we've got to see this, guys. This is not something that we can ignore. Today is the time of preparation. Today in this kingdom is the time of preparation. This is what's impacting our future kingdom. Look at verse 43. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. So we've got to look. This is a faithful, this is a sensible slave who's making preparation. That's got to be you and I. Verse 44, truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and he starts to live his life whichever way he wants, right? And he begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. Does that sound familiar? Verse 46, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. There's the option. Do you want to be faithful and sensible and making the right preparation, or do you want to do whatever you like, eat, drink, and be merry? Can't afford it. So whatever happened to once saved, always saved? Huh? I'll tell you what happened to it. It's on the doctrinal junk heap, along with God loving you unconditionally. That's where it is. Because the Lord, again, we've got to get back to the text. It's the Lord that determines the truth, not you and I. 47. And the slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. Yeah? Many lashes. So that the cost, guys, of that non-preparation is really, really tough. Verse 48. But the one who did not know it, did not know what the master's will, and did not get ready to act in accord with his will. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much of him will ask all the more. Do you see the responsibility there, guys? Do you see the cost that has to be paid when we understand this stuff? Yeah, there's a huge responsibility for us. We'd be better off not knowing it than to know it and eat, drink, and be merry and do whatever we like. So the importance of counting the cost cannot be emphasized enough. And that's why we don't allow people into our assembly until they have counted the cost. Because we cannot allow people to come in and understand this stuff and they then decide, oh, I don't really think it's for me. I'm just going to eat, drink, be merry, do whatever I like. We just saw what's going to happen to them. Now, it's figurative, but they're going to pay the cost because it has been revealed to them and they didn't stick with it. But what about the cost of giving up your family? Yeah? Because we all better be ready for doing that. Because the Lord touches on it. Right here. He moves right into it. Verse 49. I have come to cast fire upon the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have baptized to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Verse 51. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. Yeah, it's not easy to read that. I haven't come to bring peace on earth. I've come to bring division. Wow. So here's another mystery of the kingdom, guys, coming up. Because again, Israel were looking for a great time of harmony, when the reign of God was supreme in the coming kingdom. Jesus is saying, no, I've come with this kingdom, this supplemental kingdom to the full glorious kingdom coming in the future. It's going to bring division. They're thinking, what? And believe me, if you talk to the people today about this, they'll say, what? Because they've got them as coming with a smiley t-shirt on. Yeah. Bringing peace and harmony to everybody. But he's saying the kingdom has come. And this is going to be the outcome of the kingdom having come. When you stand for the word of the kingdom, there's going to be division. Look at verse 52. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And he was also saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, hey, the shower's coming. And so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, hey, it's going to be a hot day. And it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? Yeah? Guys, he's telling them, you've got to analyze these mysteries of the kingdom that I've given you. You've got to analyze what's involved. You've got to analyze how you're living your life now is going to impact your life to come. Mm. Yeah. Because bear in mind, his whole focus is to get these people into the coming future kingdom. Right? But he's telling them the way and the route into that kingdom is totally different to what you have learned or what you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's revealing it to them. But he's putting the focus, guys, onto the present time. Do you see that? He's putting the focus on the present time. The current kingdom that we're living in is determining the future kingdom that we're going to be in if we endure. Yeah. And verse 57. And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? For while you are going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, on your way there, make an effort to settle with him, so that he may not drag you before the judge, and the judge turn over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not get out of there until you have paid the very last cent. Yeah. So, we've finished pretty much the great parable of the soils, didn't we? And we saw how Jesus positioned that. He said, if you understand this correctly, you're going to understand all the other parables correctly. So we have to ensure that we do that. And that's where we're going to finish off today, and we'll pick it up next week. Okay. Cheers.